-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of -3, presented as ever by our pals over at Omaha. In just a second, we're going to be talking with the recently retired Chris Harris Jr. Of course, you remember him playing a prime role in the no-fly zone for the 2015 World Champion Denver Broncos. Going to catch up with him about the Broncos, the quarterback who you just saw playing for the Broncos, who's going to be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2024, or is he? Can Justin Fields get in his way? Also, for the Broncos fans, we'll talk about Bo Nix and whether or not he can thrive, what Sean Payton's got going, all the rest of it. Looking forward to catching up with our old pal, Chris Harris Jr. In the meantime, Eddie Spaghetti is behind the glass. And his heart is up on cloud nine still because his pal Vinny Trocheck from Upper St. Clair, Pittsburgh, scored the double OT winner against the Carolina Hurricanes to put the rags up 2-0 against Carolina. Eddie Spaghetti, you're feeling good?
I just can't believe I have to go through this at minimum 10 more times. Yeah, double OT game early on. You know, playing double OT is never good for either team, but it's a lot better to be the team that wins the game than loses the game, because not only are you tired and exhausted and probably banged up, but you now go back to your building down 0-2. So I'm thrilled that took a lot out of me, but a massive win that the Rangers really took the best punch from Carolina, their best game by far. They've played all postseason and Carolina still lost. So another reason to love the Rangers. But yeah, this is brutal on my body.
Oh, it's terrible. And, you know, the Avs, my preseason pick, rallied big time to beat the Dallas Stars. Boy, so Chris Harris Jr. is in Dallas, but he played for Denver. And we're going to talk about the Broncos, but the mixed bag that it is for the Avs, who rallied from down 3 goals against the Dallas Stars on Tuesday night. And the Nuggets look like they're finished playing against Minnesota. What it all means, it doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying that there's a lot of overlap going on here. But the Avs also pulled off the overtime winner. Just nothing better than playoff hockey. Let's just all agree to that, right? Okay, maybe we'll have some time to talk about that on the other side. But right now, let's talk about pro football, AFC, quarterback league, all the rest of it with the future Broncos Ring of Hall of Famer, you'd have to think, Chris Harris Jr. Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
Let me ask you a question, Eddie Spaghetti. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? But before you answer, two words, Caesars Rewards. Those are the two words. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. I'm talking about hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, even more than just that. It's not only an app, it's an empire. 21 plus must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, here to celebrate a little bit his great career, Super Bowl champion, all-decade cornerback for the Broncos, spent time with the Chargers and with the Saints. Now he's hosting a podcast on Believe Network, Believe in the Broncos, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, Chris Harris Jr. How are you, man? And yeah, congratulations on a great pro football career.
Oh, thank you, man. It's been an amazing experience. And I know I'm getting adjusted to the retired life, but man, it's definitely been fun.
Well, has it been? What's it been now? About two weeks since you made the big announcement. You probably were considering this at some point last autumn in the winter. But what does a guy at the age of 34, I don't have the proper accounts of what you got in the bank, but I assume you're doing all right. What's a guy, what do you have in store for the next half century, I should say? Nothing. World's your oyster, right?
Yeah. Man, you know, this past year, I wanted to stay in the game. You know, I wanted to continue to still train. I felt like I could still play. I still do feel like I can still play, you know. Definitely, I didn't get a chance to, you know, make that transition to safety like they let some corners do, you know, corner and nickels like Rondé, some guys late in their career moved to safety. I didn't get a chance to do that, but I definitely feel like I can still go lock down some of these tight ends, you know. So I stayed ready. Unfortunately, I didn't get a call, so I just thought it was best to just move on. And I did the broadcast boot camp just recently, a month ago. So I just thought it was good to just, you know, get this experience, continue to build myself in the media being an analyst and be able to teach the game. And that's what I've been doing. I've been practicing that, man, and, you know, jumping into you guys' world.
Well, listen, I mean, you made that jump at least, what, 5, 7, 8 years ago, at least. I remember talking with you in the prime of your career when you and the Bronx were chasing no fly zone with Peyton. We're chasing Super Bowl 50. I remember that whole era and bouncing off of you and you having a good sense of humor about it, too, when you had that long run going of no receiver lined up against you, getting a touchdown. And then AB got you for 3 on one night. And I poked at you a little bit. The Broncos got mad, but you didn't, which I always appreciated that you were, that you had a little bit of a sense of humor about it.
Oh yeah, man. When you have, you play in the NFL, man, you're going to have tough nights, bad nights. And you know, the Steelers were hot that night, man. You know, they had a great team, you know, with all the weapons they had at receiver, they always had receivers, you know, every time you play the Steelers, you know, you're going to have to deal with the whole receiving core. And Big Ben just puts it in there, right there in the breadbasket, man. And, you know, that was a great challenge, you know, to be able to have that. And, you know, having the confidence in the coaches, you know, I remember right after that game, Wade Phillips was like, hey, we believe you're the best. We don't care about this game. Get ready for next week. Like, we just throwing this out the bat, throwing this in the trash. Like, we know you're the best. You just had an off night. And that right there just gave me confidence, right? And to continue to push that year and to help us get to the Super Bowl, man. So you're going to have games like that. And I think it's funny that people always remember that game, right, with me and AB, maybe because I had a long streak, you know, at that time.
Right, that's what it's about, yeah. Yeah. You were a victim of your own success.
But me and AB's played way more than just that game, you know. I think we played like 5 or 6 times and throughout our career. So I would love to see the matchups on that game, you know. I remember after we played them in Denver, that's when they started fighting. So that's one thing I do remember. That's when him and the Big Ben beef.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, yeah. No, that was another chapter in that weird soap opera. 2015 or January of 2016, AB, the weekend before, gets hit in the head by Vontaze Burfict. The Steelers survive that wild card game, go to Denver against the heavily favored Broncos, favored all the more because Antonio Brown was not available in that one. They almost got you that time. They almost got you. As it happens, the Steelers and Broncos are overlapping in some quarterback and pro football news. So I want to get to that in just a second, but we have to do a career retrospective, a quick checklist, if you'll indulge. I think these are the things people do right after a guy retires. So let's do it then. Best wide receiver you faced.
Oh, man. It's hard to say just one because
Okay, say three.
All different. Yeah, they're all a little different. So I would go with one, Calvin Johnson, right? That's my freak ex, you know, put him on the boundary, you know, Hall of Fame receiver. My guy put at the Z would be AB, right? Being able to have a guy that can run all the routes, great hands, just a handful. AB never got tired. You know, he was a guy that was full speed all game. And then my third, I would have to put Tyreek Hill, right? Guy with that speed, his playmaking ability, putting him everywhere on the field. When he first got in the league, this guy was really killing us at running back, right? We used to jam Tyreek. We really molded him to how to get off the line, having to see us every year, you know? And now you can see he's pretty much unstoppable now. So those would be my three guys over my career that was definitely tough receivers.
I would think, yeah, I mean, Calvin Johnson, just, you know, you two standing next to each other probably indicates a pretty sizable advantage for the guy in Honolulu Blue, right? I mean, that have just been a straight up tear. Like, give him to Talib or someone longer, right?
Oh, I mean, hey, you can't hide him, man. You can't hide your corners in the NFL, right? So we, you know, sometimes we would match up, you know, that was a good thing about our 2015 defense that, if it was a smaller, quicker, faster receiver, I could match him up. Or if it was a super big like a Calvin, you could match him up. But eventually, they're going to find a way on you, right? You can't – the offensive coordinators are pretty good that you're going to end up having to guard in everybody. So, you know, and we played Calvin multiple times throughout my career, even before the no-fly zone. So I had to guard him a lot.
All right. In the spirit of you, not just saying one receiver, you're sort of laying it out there. You're giving us a three receiver set and all of that. Let's then lean into coach. Who's the best coach you played for?
Man.
I mean, Fangio, Wade, that's a pretty good start to the
unfortunately,
list.
Unfortunately, I had a lot of coaches. You know, we went through a lot at the end, you know, but I'm my favorite coach had to be Coach Fox. John Fox was the first guy that believed in me. He gave me a, you know, I would say he was a very fair coach, you know, very, he gave everybody an opportunity to show what they can do. And that's all you can ask from a coach, right? And he threw me out there and, you know, and that's why he would be my favorite. Of course, defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, hands down.
Oh, right?
Hands down, defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. Being able to use my strengths and playing me zone, man, blitzing me, you know, all over the field, you know. I loved Wade Phillips' defense, and, you know, he just let me go out there and just do my thing. Let me be the quarterback out there. If I had a call, if I seen a call, I could say, hey, Coach Wade, I think we should call this. And he would listen and call it, you know. So just having a guy that you can have confidence in as a coach, man, that believes in you.
Boy, yeah, you consider the coordinators and defensive skewing coaches that you played for. It's a banner list there. John Fox, the thing I always loved about that guy was he was a defensive assistant at Pitt when I was growing up. And my old man took me to a Pitt practice one summer, and John Fox had a potty mouth. Oh, boy, a lot of F-bombs and otherwise. And my mother was there too. And she said like that, I don't like the way that guy talks. He talked, you know, a lot of inappropriate language from him. And I told John Fox that about a decade ago. And we had a long interview and we were talking about that. And otherwise we moved on from the Broncos and the Panthers and all the rest of it. and he got up to walk away. And then he stopped about 10 feet away and he turned back and he said, "Hey, do me a favor. Will you apologize to your mom for me?" I thought that was really nice. I said, that was great that John Fox did that. Okay. Best quarterback you played against?
Tom Brady. You know, being able to, you know, every time we played him, man, it was just always a dogfight. And I never beat him in New England, right? We had him up 21-0, I think, one time at half, and he still came back. But, you know, just his smarts, you could tell he knew everything about us. He knew everything that we were good at. He knew exactly how we were going to try to scheme things. So we had to play, you know, chess with him, right? One time he motions, I might tell Tlaib, I'm going to top hat, which that means I'll take the back guy in the stack. Sometimes I might tell Tlaib, I'm going to take the point guy, and he'll take the back guy. We'll switch it up. Or I'll be like, Tlaib, we're going to play triangle, you know, inside and out. Mm-hmm. So I would always have to switch it up with Brady, and just because he was so smart. And you had to kind of play chess with that man all the time. Now, Mahomes is different. Mahomes brings a different type of effect because you can cover all day, right, and have a good game going against Mahomes. But in that fourth quarter, when he starts to run, those are just backbreakers, and they just kills you, right? He just makes the clutch plays at the end, and that's what makes Mahomes so great.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, he's got that live arm to go along with it. Brady has had a pretty good arm in his prime, but nothing like what Mahomes has. Is it ultimately, though, that rolling discussion that we have, and you watch the draft and everybody is consumed by arm strength and physical dimensions and everything else, and ultimately it's sort of unsatisfying because I think we all know deep down that it's neck up that what is what matters more than all that stuff, and it's hard to assess, and you don't really know till you get them out there and see them for not just a couple of games, but for a couple of seasons and all that. But is that ultimately, if I ask you, you're going into the biggest game of the year, is it a guy who's a heady guy or a physical specimen who scares you more?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the heady guy. I'm going to go with the heady guy. A guy that's smart, that understands the schemes, the process, that can be able to put the team in the right play, because I played a freak athlete in a Super Bowl. Right. And we were able to beat them, you know. So to fit that, it goes perfect with your question. Right. So I would that's why I would go with the heady guy. But, you know, all these guys are talented in their own way. Brady, now I might have to fight against you a little bit. Brady could throw hard. He had an arm.
I think it has been wildly overstated that all he is just the thinking man's QB. He actually, he's a 6'4" guy. I know people don't necessarily look at him next to Cam Newton, but I mean, he had a pro arm. I'm not suggesting otherwise.
When it comes to throwing hard, I would put Brady up there, but the touch passes, the guys that can put it in any type of, you know, angle, I would go with, you know, Peyton, Big Ben, Phillip Rivers. Right. Those three right there are the touch passers of the, you know, that decade, that generation. Right. That they might not have the best arm strength power. Right. But they're accurate as hell. And they got the touch. They got the floaters. They got the moon ball. They got everything. Right. So when it comes to accuracy and touch, I would go with those three guys.
All right. You know, we bring up Super Bowl 50, and I guess it is kind of a good place to then talk about 2024 in this sense. So, all right. The Carolina Panthers in 2015, MVP Cam Newton, a superhero, called himself Superman, as a matter of fact. And so did other people. And he carried this team. I mean, they didn't have a ton of talent at pass catcher, at least. And all that, and yet they go 15-1. The Denver Broncos, in the 21st century, no less. Peyton Manning is a great name brand, but Peyton concedes that he was not in his prime at that point when you win the Super Bowl. He was along for the ride, largely, because of the great defense. Okay, almost a decade later. Is that still possible, to win a Super Bowl that way? Because I ask it because the guy who was last seen playing quarterback for the Broncos is going to be playing it for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can the Steelers win, make some real hay in the postseason, playing that style of ball, let the defense dominate, grind the other team up, and so on, like the world champion 2015 Broncos did?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar, even the Chiefs this past year. You know, I think a lot of times Mahomes had to be a game manager and rely on that defense to make plays, right? And sometimes you have to do that to win games, depending on what the matchups are and the type of play style of the team that you're facing. And do I think the Steelers can get it done? I think they have a great chance to be able to compete for that AFC North. You know, I think the Bengals are going to come back hot. I got them winning that division. I think with Burrow coming back healthy, T. Higgins, you know, he's ready. He wants his contract, so he's going to go out there and ball. Chase, I just like them coming back hot. So I think it's going to be them, the Ravens, and the Steelers. So, and I think the other divisions, right, are going to be a little bit weak. I think the AFC West is going to be a little bit weak. So the Steelers might have
a two-horse race, right? Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, your guys and the Raiders are probably also Rams in that division. Yeah. And I wonder even, do you buy that Jim Harbaugh can turn that team around and actually compete with the Chiefs in 2024?
Yeah. Not in 2024, but probably next year. Hmm. Right. But you have a guy, Justin Herbert, that can make plays and, you know, that can always keep that team somewhat in the game, right? And he's won in Arrowhead before, so he knows how to go on the road and win in KC. So I think they can challenge him a little bit, but it's going to take Harbaugh a year or so to get his footprint in there and get fully the team that they want, because I think defensively the Chargers just aren't there yet.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that I think we see these overnight makeovers of teams, but Harbaugh wants to do something very different than what Telesco and company were building there. It does feel like a pretty hard right turn to more physical brand of ball and all that. So maybe it does take a minute there. I do want to talk more about the AFC West and specifically Denver, but you know, I do think they're joined up because of the way the last year plus has gone. As you may have heard, Sean Payton replaced Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. And I thought, at least from the outside, given Russell Wilson's genuflection to Drew Brees, that's his idol growing up, and he loved Sean Payton and what they were doing, I just assumed that this was a marriage made in heaven, and obviously it was not. And you, and I mean, I've seen Mark Schlereth and some, you know, Broncos alums going in fairly hard on Russ. I mean, let's start there with, I get, you know, it's fairly clear based on the things I've seen you say in defense of Jerry Jeudy and otherwise that you think Russ was more of an issue last season than Sean Payton was. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it was a lot of plays out there that Russ missed. And Sean had some great calls. Of course, Sean had a couple bad days. You know, it happens as a head coach, but I think he had the right schemes. He had the right plays to be able to get these guys open and to make plays. A lot of times Russ held the ball a lot, you know, causing extra sacks, killing drives, you know, and kind of missing a lot of big throws. I think the big game was for Russell was the Houston Texan game, right? And it was a lot of plays out there that was wide open that we just missed, right? And that was the game that kind of showed us if we're able to, if he's the guy that can get us over that hump, you know, because when you play a team like that on the road and it's a playoff game on the line, we need you to be Superman that game, right? And I think they realized he couldn't do that and it was best to move on. So do I think Russ had it? It was definitely hard on Russ too also. Let me throw this out there too, because it's hard to play when a team is coming at you over your contract in midseason, you're the head, you're the quarterback. So that is hard to handle, right? But at the end of the day, I've never seen them open up the floodgates for a player before, giving them everything like they did Russell Wilson.
Is that the crux of it, that people were resentful, or I don't know if that's the right word, but because he came in with such a heavy deal, he was supposed to play savior and anything short of that was going to be a disappointment. And so not meeting the wildly lofty expectations that come along with making $100+ million at the sport's most important position. If you ain't, you know, top five, top 10 QB, then you're considered a failure. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when we were paying him the amount of money we paid him before he even took a snap on the field. Right. They gave him his own room. He had his own trainer. He had everything. Right. They laid it out perfect for him. They didn't even do that for Peyton. right? Peyton was a regular guy coming up when he got signed to Denver, right? So they just laid it. And they also made Peyton take pay cuts, right? So definitely guys are probably surprised and probably had some animosity with that. And it's hard to build a team, you know, when the guy's getting treated a little bit different. And you can see that happen, and you see what the results. You see what happened. They had to get him out.
Yeah, it's one thing for Jimmy Johnson to declare, like, I don't care what Michael Irvin and, you know, Emmett and Troy are doing compared to the guys on special teams. There's a different standard there. So it was Russ coming in, having done a lot of great stuff, but up in Seattle, he hadn't done anything for this organization yet. So for the red carpet or orange carpet to be rolled out for him, people were resentful of that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You can definitely see it in guys' tweets for sure. I never got mad at it, you know, but I'm just stating the facts of, you know, that's what happened. And you could see just from reading reports from the beat writers and the guys up there, they could tell a little friction that was going on up there. But on the field, I think Russ did do a great job in the red zone. Everything in between into the red zone, that's where they struggled, right? They struggled in the midfield. I think Russ is better suited in a spread offense where he can have guys four wide, five wide, empty, and be able to see and be able to make his throws, right? I think that's what's going to best suit him in the Steelers offense because I don't think he really truly fit the system that Sean Payton wanted to run. And so I think they made the right decision of moving on.
Well, Steelers ain't wired to be going four wide. I mean, the Arthur Smith offense is going to be anything but that. So let's talk about that. You know, Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are. And Russ, his record, his resume is, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls, Super Bowl champion, you know, some nice individual years statistically in the second chunk of his run with Seattle. But the last 3 years, losing records with three different coaches. And I really think you can say that Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton is basically two different football teams, the way they were operating. So that's three straight seasons there. So where's Russ, I guess, basically now as a specimen, as a football player? I mean, all things considered, above the neck and you know, and as a specimen, what's he got left? He's not the quick twitch guy that he seemed to be to me 8 years ago. Yeah. How say you?
When he signed his contract, you know, was it a lot of teams? Only teams I can really, it was probably like three teams, you know, that was really truly looking at him. I think it was the Giants. They were in there. The Steelers. I forgot the other team. It was probably one more team. But, you know, you could see this is a make or break year for Russell Wilson, right? He has to go in there. He has to keep this young, talented quarterback on the bench, one, right? So, and you're coming to a new team, new offense. You want to show that you belong to be a NFL starter, right? So it's a make or break year for him. He has to win because it's crucial for his for him for the rest of his career. And, you know, of course, this is contract year for Russ, right? I'm pretty sure he wants some more money, right? So this is a big year for him to show what he can do. Luckily, he's in a great organization, an organization that still went to the playoffs last year without having a good quarterback or a good offense. So he has definitely a great opportunity to go up there and change it around. You know, you went in Steeler. I know their fans are crazy, right? Just playing up there and seeing all the battles or having a lot of battles up there. Their fans are crazy. So if he goes up there and balls, man, he could probably find a home up there.
I agree with that. Yes, in success. And I do want to talk about the specific context of the what feels to me like a better situation than the one he just left in Denver. But I guess all the things you might say about where Russ is at age 36 and all of that in the context of a better situation, what specifically the offensive line seems built up. Physical run game behind him. They have some work to do at pass catcher, but at least George Pickens is a good place to start and a pass catching tight end. And Pat Freiermuth, even though Russ doesn't historically love to throw the ball to the tight end. Do you think Russ succeeds in 2024 or do you think they'd be better off? Do you think Arthur, I guess
what Russ wants is to be the starter and to be relevant and to be a big star and all of that. Do you think Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and Arthur Smith are talking about, like, for us to have a higher level of success, we kind of need Justin Fields to win this gig at some point?
I think they're looking at Justin, try to, hopefully it'd be better suited for him to learn under Russ and then eventually take over that spot. I think this that's what they're looking at. Probably if they're not having success, you know, Mike Tomlin wants to have success. So he's thinking that he's going, his mindset is that I'm going to have success with Russell Wilson. Right. And we can look at Justin Fields later on, you know, probably next year or probably or 2 years down the road. So that would be the ultimate goal, you know, if I'm the Steelers. Right. But Russell, if I'm Russell, this offense is better. Right. They have more. They have a 1,000-yard rusher already. Pickens, I would say him and Cortland, you could probably say they're pretty even. Right. Do they probably need another receiver? I could say, yeah, another blazer down the field. But I'm not worried about the Steelers receivers. Right. That's one position. If I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, you never question their receivers because they got to be the one, the best scouting departments there is when it comes to receivers. So that's one thing. I think the Steelers offense is better. But like I said, he needs to be in a spread. Right. The drop back, the play action offense didn't suit him very well. It needs to be open. He needs to be able
See. But so aren't we saying essentially that he's doomed to fail because they're not going to do that? I mean, Arthur Smith is hopefully nimble enough to see the pieces he has, not the ones that he wants, but what they're putting out there for him. And so he's got to modify things to Russell's taste to some degree, but also they're wired at this point. I mean, they just don't have the pieces to, I mean, Van Jefferson as your number two is uninspired. No offense to you, Van Jefferson, but right. I mean,
when we look at the receivers that they have, right, they're still fairly young, right? There's no really true.
Austin who feels like a gadget guy. Cause he's so, right.
They don't have a real vet experience receivers, right? So they're going to lean on Russ a lot more in that aspect, right? But we know what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to try to do. They got to run the football, right? They got to play good defense. That's going to be the recipe for them to win. Russell, you got to play manage, or what was Cam Newton calling them? Quarterback managers?
Yeah.
Just, you got to manage the game. Like, don't have turnovers. Right. Be careful with the football. Protect the football. Like, it's okay to punt. But we know once it gets to the red zone, Russ, now you can start using your legs. Now you can start making plays and scrambling around. You know how he does, scrambling around and always makes great throws right in the red zone. That's where he comes alive. So that's what Russ needs to continue to do. Play smart football. And their defense saying that we're going to stop them. TJ Watt, I'm going to get you the ball back. Right. Fitzpatrick, we're going to get you the ball back. So just be smart with it.
I mean, I agree with the majority of that. It's a difference between, like, you know, this deep into this millennium, the idea of hiding your quarterback like the Jags tried to do in 2017, 2018 and almost got to the Super Bowl doing it with Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
And the Broncos, when you win that Super Bowl with, you know, one of the all time greats, in 18, both of them are defense dominant. And, you know, you're basically, you know, the QB is more or less a passenger. He's not the reason that you are where you are if you're in those two things. I'll be curious to see if you can make, or if you go super extreme, that you're not going to shoot it out with Mahomes and with Burrow and everybody else. Like, let's just run the option. I mean, you're a Jayhawk. You remember Big 8 Ball. I mean, it predates you, but maybe you're still too young to remember Jamel Holloway and Oklahoma Sooners and the Tommy Frazier.
Oh, you used to run that wing tee.
Let's do some of that. Yeah. You know what? Justin Fields, you go back there. We might throw the ball 2 to 5 times a game. We're just gonna grind you up real good. Deal with that. What would happen if you did that? Yeah. In today's NFL, because I know it's a silly proposition and no team's actually going to do this, but I am curious because I used to always say, why not try the option? And people would always scoff at me, Dave, you don't understand the speed at the pro level versus college. You just, the guys, they would close you out before you could ever get to the edge. Yeah. If you were Jamel Holloway or a running quarterback, if you were Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And now we see you can get away with run being a run first team. What would happen if Justin Fields is like, we're going to throw the ball literally 12 times a game?
What the issue is the O-lines are bad. There's bad O-line play in the league. They can barely run block. So if you get a solid, good team, a good solid O-line as a good core, then you can make some things happen, right? The Steelers O-line is still, they still haven't had a lot of consistency together. And they just drafted a lot of young guys to plug in and play. So I actually think that we had a better offensive line in Denver because we have more vets, more guys that have more consistency, more times of playing. So it's gonna be interesting to see how the Steelers' offense is gonna be. The reason why you can't run the wing T and all these power runs because the offensive line is just not capable of blocking these guys anymore.
Fascinating. And, you know, back to the notion of 3-4 receivers on the field for Russ's benefit. Okay, now let's connect it back to Denver. One of the rumors that's out there, Cortland Sutton moving to Pittsburgh. I'll say you.
I think it would be a good move. He's a guy that Russ loves and he could trust him in the red zone. And he had a great season last year.
In particular seem to have a real affinity.
For Denver, I think it would be a tough loss losing Corton because he's a guy that works extremely hard. He could block. He's going to do all the dirty plays. He's a guy that's not late. He's great off the field. He's great at, he works extremely hard at practice every day. So it's hard to lose those type of guys, you know, leaders like that. So I don't want to see Cortland leave as a Bronco alum, but it would be a great steal for the Steelers if they were able to get him.
And I listen, spoiler alert, this is the guy I think the Steelers are chasing. We've heard DK Metcalf as rumors. We've heard Ayuk and Debo Samuel, one of those two Niners guys. I think the guy who fits with what the Steelers want and what Russ has probably mentioned at some point since he arrived there, the professional that Cortland Sutton is. I think people in Pittsburgh and beyond who say, like, the Steelers with Arthur Smith intend to run the ball a lot anyway, so why do you need another high-end pass catcher to go along with George Pickens? Explain to people in a rudimentary way, if you know that the only dangerous option out there in the pass game is number 14, what does the defense do to eliminate him? And then nothing, you would accomplish nothing if you only have one capable pass catcher out on the field at any given time, right?
You got to have receivers to be able to open up the run game sometimes, right? When you have guys that are threats outside, then you got to have the safeties back deep. You got to run a little bit more too.
And Pickens doesn't do that alone.
Right. So when you just got Pickens, you can just put one safety over there. Right. You really don't have a threat on the other side. So it's best that, and you see the teams around the league. They don't just have one weapon, right? They got three weapons now. You got to have at least three weapons to be able to compete in the NFL. Every team usually has three, whether it's the Eagles, the Cowboys, even the Bears now. You know, you got to have three guys that can make plays out there. So if the 49ers, they got, you know, Ayuk, Samuel, McCaffrey, Kittle, they got tons, right? And that's what it takes to be able to compete winning in the NFL.
Boy, man, Niners, Lions, Eagles. I say this ad nauseum. The Steelers want to be an NFC team in the AFC. Yeah. That's the way they're going to try to win their way through all these high-end quarterbacks. I mean, they're going to try to push people around in the AFC this season. Okay. So do you agree, though? Because, you know, I know you're in Dallas. You're watching the Mavs, by the way, right? You're rooting on the Mavs? Okay, things aren't
going well. I'm a Lakers fan.
Oh, you're a Lakers guy.
Okay. And I'm from Oklahoma. So I'm watching the game, OKC? but I'm OKC. That's my second team because I'm from Oklahoma.
If you kind of like the Thunder, do you want to, I mean, you probably aren't responsible for it, but as an Oklahoma representative, do you want to apologize to Sports America for the SGA and Chet Holmgren commercial? Because a lot of people are very annoyed by it. What a pro wants, what a pro doesn't.
I apologize to the world why they keep playing this commercial over and over again. It just you know, it's ringing in my ears now. You know, we got the Kendrick and Drake debate. That's kind of ringing in my ears. And then, bam, I see Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous all on there all the time.
You don't need that. Here's my hypothesis is that if Chester didn't do the thing like what a pro with his hand to keep the beat for a second, I think we would have been better off, right? I think then we wouldn't have been so offensive to our eyes. But okay. Well,
they're number one, so they had to get a commercial. They're number one, right? They needed some type of TV visibility, you know?
Maybe they didn't make a great. Also, the head to toe leather on Chester, not a great idea.
Oh man, the buttermilk. I don't know what do we call that outfit? upset stomach. Outfit.
It reminded me. I remember that there's an old clip of Elvis Presley playing in like 1970 in head to toe leather. That's what it made me think of. But anyhow, okay. So, do you agree with the Courtland Sutton is the guy? And that the Broncos are willing to move him for the right price. Yeah. It may just not be today. It may be somewhere in August.
Yeah. I think he's the best price that you can get, you know, being able to get him over. Because you're not Brandon Ayuk. What do they want? A first round, second round guy? Debo, they might want less, I would say. But I think for the market's sake, you could probably get a better deal out of Courtland. Right. Even though he has two more years left on his deal at a great price, right? I think $17 million this year, then $20 million next year. That's still a solid price for a guy that had 10 touchdowns almost. I like his market value better.
Has always felt like a star waiting for a quarterback who's going to allow him to put up the numbers that indicate what a star he is, how talented he is.
Ayuk wants $30 million too.
Yeah,
right. You got to throw that out there also. You got to trade a high pick and pay him $30 million.
And right, they just gave away Deontay Johnson more because of behavior, I think, and attitude than anything else. And as far as that goes, I think you would have to have amnesia to think, what, we have George Pickens. We're all set. Like, did you forget how close that thing came to blowing up because George Pickens wasn't, you know, going hard on every play and was shrugging it off? And it really felt like there was a potential divorce upcoming, and instead they shipped off the older brother, Deontay Johnson. So I think you need a role model. And as far as that goes, you've been a role model in locker rooms and otherwise. What do you say if you are back to, and then I want to talk to you about the other young QB in Denver, but what would you say to Justin Fields? Because you're a veteran, you want to win, and you're there with Peyton, you're in Denver when Peyton's there, and you know a gold jacket is waiting for him in Ohio when he hangs it up. But then there's Brock Osweiler, and you want both to succeed because you're on the team with both those guys, and you want to make long playoff runs, and you probably have an idea that I prefer this guy to that guy, but whatever gets it done and all of that. What would you say to Justin Fields right now?
Yeah. If I'm Justin Fields, I'm trying to go in and learn the offense as fast as I can, get some continuity with the receivers, and go compete for the job. Like, my mindset is I'm trying to start, right, if I'm Justin Fields. So try whatever snaps, I think they're going to give him plenty of chances to be able to show that he's a starter. And that's my mindset if I'm him, right? With Brock, I think we kind of understood that middle of the year Peyton was hurt and that he was going to have to step up, right? And you never know what's going to happen. So we seen last year how many quarterbacks went down, right? Russ has been he's very durable. Right. He doesn't miss a lot of games. At least you can say that he's usually active. So so I don't see Russ getting injured. But if I'm Justin Fields, my mindset is that I'm going there to be the starter.
Yeah. And you have to take it. And it's a funny PR thing. And I don't know that it matters to anybody in the locker room or to the coaches, but I do suspect it does matter in this particular situation to Tomlin and everybody else as they bring Tomlin's indicated that he thinks that Fields and Arthur Smith and Russ are all a little bit kind of damaged goods a little bit. Now all individually need to reclaim their place a little bit. The Russ is doing the thing that Russ does, which is welcome to Pittsburgh. As soon as a guy gets drafted, they're ready to work. And anybody who comes into the team, like Justin Fields has been very quiet in that regard. I don't know, like, if Justin Fields feels like, should I be tweeting at these guys when they get drafted? Because Russ is doing it. I don't know that it has any
amounts to anything at the end of the day, but it is sort of like, it's pretty clear that Russ thinks of himself as the starter, or is he trying to speak it into being by doing all that stuff? Like, see, I'm the leader. Look at what I'm doing.
I think they announced it. I think they announced it that they were going to go with him as a starter, which, you know,
for now, I don't know that they couldn't shake it up before the start of the season. I think you're probably right.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, if Justin Fields goes out there and balls, I would not be surprised. Right. He has all the talent in the world and, you know, capabilities to be able to go out there and do it. Getting with a stable offense, you know, he didn't get a fair shake in Chicago. So I wouldn't be surprised if he went out there and balled in Pittsburgh.
Bo Nix, how say you? Sean Payton, alleged QB whisperer, has done some great work. And I don't say look at the greatest student from the Sean Payton school. Look at the middle class students and see how he elevated their play. Is he, this is a guy who just said, I don't want Russell Wilson. Let's reboot. Yeah. Bo Nix is my guy. Do you buy that Sean Payton has landed on the answer for the Broncos?
Man, when you look at Bo Nix, man, he was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in college football last year and playing in two conferences. He has tons of experience. I think 61 games. Right. That's a lot in college. I played 40 something games, I think. And I thought that was a lot. You know what I mean? I couldn't imagine doing 20 more in college, you know. So this guy has tons of experience. He should be well ready to go to play day one. Right. So I think Sean Payton is excited about this guy. He's more of a run threat than people give him credit. They can run specific plays for him in the red zone or even in the field. He can make plays with his legs. So I think they see the potential with this guy. He was, even though he's the sixth quarterback, he was the best guy pretty much left. And I think he might be better than some of the guys coming out next year, right? So I think they did great of just going to snag this guy compared to waiting one more year. And hopefully you get somebody, you know, that has his type of experience next year, which that's going to be rare to happen.
I mean, I don't know if this makes Sean Payton try harder what it does, but I mean, talk about a guy who needs to reclaim a little something here after the way the insults to Nathaniel Hackett and all that. Yeah. Like he's incented to make this work. Yeah. He's willfully shaken it up and done this, right?
He has to make it work because he hasn't had success in a long time.
Yeah, if we're so just being 2025. Real, yeah, right.
It's been a long time since, you know, the Saints won a Super Bowl, you know, so we just have to be honest, and now it's time for him. He needs to go win somewhere else.
Well, speaking of a long time, it appears to me that Chris Harris is destined for a long career in talking about pro football. You just heard why here. Some great breakdown of the Broncos and the Steelers and all the rest of it. We appreciate the time. Best to you. Anything we can do to help you out, Chris Harris Jr., as you build on the Believe Network, track down Believe in the Broncos. I'm Chris Harris Jr. on Instagram, Twitter, all the rest of it. Thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations again on a great career. And now a quick break.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, there he goes, Eddie Spaghetti. What intrigued you most?
Well, again, I've been saying it every time I bring up the NFL that I am on the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the division. I just think, you know, the slow and steady wins the race, I guess, in comparison to the big name quarterbacks, you know, MVP winner Lamar Jackson and obviously Joe Burrow's return. That's already a news item. Joe Burrow's practicing again. There's pictures and videos of him like we did.
But he has pain in his wrist. It's like, ooh, I don't know. That's part of the delivery mechanism. For a quarterback is the wrist. So that an injury in that particular part of one's QB body is disconcerting.
I would say. But it seems like for the most part, Chris is pretty relatively positive about Russell Wilson, especially in the red zone. And you know, if they do get a big time receiver like his buddy Cortland Sutton, or if they take somebody from San Francisco, again, it just adds to my reasoning as to why I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have what it takes to win the AFC North. So I'm glad again that you know, a former fantastic NFL player is kind of beefing up my opinion there.
I'll be honest, though. It sounds like Chris could go either way on Russ or Justin Fields, or if I was hearing him right, maybe he thinks Justin Fields is the better option, vet stuff aside. I'm not sure, but I mean, listen, it's been pretty consistent that Chris Long, Jeff Schwartz, Mina Kimes, and the people that we talk to are saying, like, don't they have to go with Fields at some point? I just don't know that they are going to make that move between now and week one. And if Russ gets off on the right foot, I just don't know when they would ever practically make the switch to Fields. But I do think to make some hay in January, you probably do need Justin Fields in there.
I simply just don't understand that. I think maybe two seasons ago, we wanted to question Russ's future. I think that's fine. I think after what he did last season was good enough for me. And I think the lack of teams really trying to acquire Justin Fields kind of speaks volumes, especially at his age and with his rushing ability.
That's fair.
And Fields didn't have a bad season by any accounts. I mean, he was not on this loaded up Bears team. Now he played with way less talent there. And I do think a situation like the Steelers would make a lot of sense for him to improve his career. But I also think the same thing with the Steelers applies to Russell Wilson. I still think Russell Wilson can have a better season than what he did last season with the Steelers going forward, especially with getting another big time wide receiver. I just think the coaching is in play, like I've said 100 times. And I think the rushing game they have there, there's just stability in that franchise. The Broncos have been quite tumultuous for the past few seasons. So I just think it's a good situation for Russ, who kind of has something to prove. And for me, regarding Fields, I mean, this is just a situation, like Chris said, learn under Russ for a year and then maybe figure it out going forward, because, you know, obviously Russ is not a spring chicken. But I don't see why playing to me, if you're playing Justin Fields, I forgot which guest we had on set, it probably means that you're in real big trouble.
I take your point that it would have to mean, I think it was me who said that, that
if it was, then Justin I agree Fields with your point. Out,
well, cause right. If they're 2-4, 2-5, then the season ain't going well. And now you have to make a desperate move. Speaking of desperate move, Rashee Rice in some more trouble. Now I wonder if they're in the market, the Chiefs. And I wonder, given their success, if it's tough to find a willing trade partner. I know that the Bills did it and people are on their case from a couple of weeks ago. I wonder if the Niners are like, what do we care if Ayuk plays for the Chiefs? We'll see you in the Super Bowl. You know, they may be in the market for a pass catcher themselves. Now Tyler Boyd lands with the Titans. Rashad Penny lands with the Carolina Panthers. I'm all about just load up at running back. I mean, if it's a fungible position, just keep bringing those guys in there. Just load up as much as you can. You know, the Steelers are probably going to have to do that specifically with the news that they didn't pick up the fifth year option on Najee Harris, what that means for them going forward at minimum. Talk about locker room conversations and all that. I wonder what his attitude is. The leverage the teams always have over the players is when contracts are up is like, you want to put bad tape out there? Go ahead, man. You have to be motivated for your future. As it happens, it benefits our team's future for you to work hard and to dominate as well. Speaking of teams getting a little bit better down the line. Macklin Celebrini, you're very excited about this. I am glad that he's over in the other conference, Eddie Spaghetti. We don't need more talent than ours.
Well, for those who don't know, Macklin Celebrini, Boston University Terrier, won the Hobie Baker, will be the first Hobie Baker Award winner, the best player in college hockey to go first overall. I have a buddy who's a Columbus Blue Jackets fan. And I feel like the NHL's kind of forgotten about them the last few seasons because they've always been in the mix for the number one overall pick and they never win the lottery. Lost out on Bedard last year, lost out on Celebrini this year. I don't think Celebrini's in the level of Bedard, but he's still damn good. And so I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, Chicago, they get him. that's real fun to have Bedard and Celebrini as your 1-2. Just to basically,
I thought it was just about to happen.
An instant reload from a team that was basically a dynasty or a form of a dynasty, winning five cups or three cups in five seasons. I hate to lean into what your take is on the Southern California teams, but like Anaheim was supposed to be better this year, not that good. If they got Celebrini, you pair him with Zegras, maybe that's something that's fun there, but it's just not a fun situation. And then San Jose kind of like, it just flat out stinks. I mean, they're not going to reach they have the worst roster in hockey by far. And then I was thinking more about it, and then I forgot that Mike Greer, former Boston University Terrier, is the general manager of the Sharks. That makes sense. So he wants to go there and get his BU guy. Also, Celebrini in juniors did play for the Sharks junior team in that area, even though he's from, I believe, Vancouver. So he has some ties to that, to the Bay Area, to San Jose. So I guess it makes sense to them, and they're going to try to reload, but they are ways and ways and ways away.
Macklin. What kind of name is that for a baby?
It's a Canadian name. One.
Mac is okay, I guess. Baby Mac is all right, but like Macklin, I don't know. I wouldn't want to go through life with that. But then, you know, like I say, Mac would make Mac Damashek. Okay, you
Mac
know what?
Is good. Macklin stinks.
Macklin,
I just think
is
Mac
no
from
good,
It's Always
right.
Sunny. Yeah, but I think Mac could work. And again, Canadian name, but props for him living in Western Canada and going to school in Massachusetts. So I'm a big fan of his.
Okay. I'm going to bite my lip for now. Let's see what all happens. I see you're dealing with people. You're rightly catching flack for your guy, Jacob Trouba, who almost cost his team that game, man. The overtime penalties, if he would have scored, if they would have scored there, he would have been demonized, I would think, by Rangers. Well, I know you would defend
he
him.
Had a, no. He had a bad, I mean, taking three penalties, just a total bonehead move. It's terrible. But then he had a couple nice passes, blocked a lot of shots. So he like, Jacob Trouba giveth and taketh away. It was basically his game. And he could have injured himself, and he could have, who was that, Natchez? He tried to hit, and he ducked down to avoid the check, and he flew headfirst into the glass.
You got to admit, it would have been funny. Out of context, your playoff run would have been severely damaged, but you would have to concede it would have been funny if he would have hurt himself on that one.
It was dumb. He did not. I hope I didn't really watch or listen to any of his post game conversations, but I don't know what he was. Maybe he was just charged up for it costing his team. He was like, I got to do something. And I think he wanted to set the tone because they were getting kind of chippy, Carolina, towards the Rangers, and they weren't really putting Rempe on the ice, especially later in that game. So Trouba had to be the tone setter, but it was what a roller coaster of a game for him. So I'm just glad that Nature isn't hurt. I'm glad that Trouba isn't hurt. I'm glad they survived Trouba's three minors. But yeah, he has to play a lot better overall, not just, you know, certain defensive plays there. He's got to be a lot smarter to be the captain.
Sheesh. Yeah, really. I mean, anytime an NHL playoff game goes into OT, it's a roller coaster, epic adventure. And that game was no different there. I thought the Knickerbockers and Pacers was a fun game one. I'll leave you with this again. And we talk about it all the time on -3, especially with Hench. But the notion that gambling is going to undermine sports credibility is moot when sports credibility has already been undermined by officiating. I mean, what the hell? The last minute of that game, the two calls that went the Knickerbocker's way were loco. I don't think that Adam Silver or anyone else is like, it's better if New York wins than Indianapolis. I don't think anybody's doing that. I just think they were terrible calls, and that sucks, and that damages the sport. Fix the officiating, would you please? It's right there. We can all see what they're getting wrong. Do something about it. Would you, commissioners? Have a big, like, the Godfather, when they have that big powwow after Sonny gets shot, and they have the big meeting of all the families. Do that, commissioners, and bring all the officials, and no one leaves until you settle the hash. All right? That's the end of it. Great thanks to Chris Harris Jr. We got one more episode coming for you this week. We got to figure out this Kendrick Lamar and Drake thing. That, if nothing else, is what we'll do on the next episode. Until then, thanks again to Chris Harris Jr. and Eddie Spaghetti. Make sure you're checking out all the great content on the Extra Points Network. Until next time, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.